Here is the commissioner of the NHL, Gary Bettman. Gary, thank you for doing this as always. As I just said, this is going to be a strange year, a different year. Can you take us through the range of emotions you're dealing with going into this new season?
Well, thanks. It's great to be with you guys. Happy New Year, and I hope you and your loved ones are all safe. The fact of the matter is there is an incredible challenge that on behalf of the game and how we connect with our fans, we felt it was important to meet. And I get great support from the clubs, particularly ownership. I got great cooperation from the Players Association and the players. And we're all in this together to try and play a season that we think it's important to try and play. Not about making money, because we don't make money doing it under these circumstances. It's really about connecting with our fans, giving people a sense of normalcy, doing it where the number one priority is keeping everybody safe and healthy, as well as the communities in which we play. And to say it is a challenge would probably be an understatement, but we're on the eve of the season, and we're excited to be at this point. And while nothing will be risk-free, we think we've managed to focus on what we can do to minimize the risks and move forward.
Gary, who's on speed dial for you right now? Is it the schedule maker? I mean, who are you kind of most going to be focused on if something happens COVID-wise? I mean, what's going to be the most difficult element to the season?
Well, I have a saying in terms of just normal operations under regular circumstances is everything we do is related to everything else we do. So there's no one person or one department that you focus on, because it all has to be coordinated as well as internally and with the constituent groups that we have, whether it's our media partners or the players and the Players Association or our business partners. So it's never one thing. The range of emotions are that we need to make sure we're aware of all our options, that we stay on top of all the information we can gather, which is changing moment by moment, and we need to be flexible and agile in terms of how we react to whatever may come our way. Our hope is, like over the summer, that the decisions we make are good ones and that we can get to a successful conclusion. I mean, when we had this conversation, or I had it with others prior to the return to play to conclude the 19-20 season, where we had protocols and transition rules and extension of the collective bargaining agreement, there were a lot of people who said it couldn't be done, you know, and it was. And I am optimistic that we can, under different circumstances, because we're not using the bubbles, be successful as well to play this season.
Gary, you just mentioned a lot of the challenges that you had to go through just to get through the bubble. You mentioned the CBA extension. There's been a lot of things, moving targets for you and your group. Was there ever a point where, you know, maybe where you had to lay out the business side and the fan side and everything, basically a giant formula, and say, you know what, we may not be able to do this. This is just either financially, or it's just too hard, or safety, like all of the things that we laid out. Was there ever a point where you're thinking we might not be able to do this?
Well, there are two points that I'll make to respond. One, financially, this is a mess, period. And we always knew that would be the case. And I was quoted earlier today. I think it got a lot of attention. We by playing costs us more money and bigger losses than not playing. Okay, so we're really playing for the game and for our fans, and because we think and the owners think it's important. There are a lot of people who said that this was back in the spring and over the summer, you're never going to be able to do this. And I said, A, I believe we can, and B, we have to try. And I think we owe it to our fans and to the game and to everybody associated with the game to try and to do it under the best processes, circumstance, decision-making you can make to deal with these difficult circumstances, and that's what we're doing. And I'm an optimistic person by nature. I think a lot of hard work by a lot of people have gone into where we are, and that's why I'm excited to start the season.
With Gary Bettman, the commissioner of the NHL, and you've laid this out multiple times today. You just did it again for us and our audience here about, you know, the obvious elephant in the room. You guys are losing money by operating. You're losing money, but you're not alone in that. You know that, Gary. I mean, there are literally millions and millions of companies around the world struggling and holding on for dear life. So as much as it is about getting back and the importance of getting back and making sure your fans are happy with that, how much of it is holding on to franchise value, making sure that you play? How much of it is the relationships you have with media partners, with different big business that you do business with? You know, how much of it was, we have to, you know, even though we're losing money, we have to.
By the way, you know, you asked the question financially, so I'm not on a soapbox asking for sympathy or applause because we're playing and we're going to lose money. In response, a candid response to the question is, you know, you don't play a season like this worrying about how much you're going to lose. You do what you think is right, whether it's for the fans, whether it's for the good of the game, whether it's for your business partners who invested in you. I mean, there are a whole host of reasons why you play, but first and foremost, you play because you think it's right for the game and for the people who care about the game.
With Gary Bettman. So you have said this, I believe, on multiple occasions, yourself, Bill Daly, spoken on this, that obviously these are very random circumstances. This is a very unique season. And as a result, you had to make adjustments and sacrifices. You've got an all-Canadian division for the first time in history. Teams are going to play only within that division. And I believe you've made it clear that this is intended to be a one-off. And as of next year, you want to get back to reality and get back to a conventional schedule and conventional setup. Is that in fact the case, Gary, or is there a possibility for you guys as a league to learn something, you know, throughout this process, whether it's scheduling, maybe we should think about flying into a city and playing a team twice, you know, whether it is realignment with divisions. Is that possible that you might take something out of this experience that maybe you weren't expecting and apply it in the future?
We're not going to be oblivious to what we're doing and what the impact is. So you try to learn from everything you do, but the notion of having purely divisional play and having a Canadian division is not something that I see for the long term under any circumstances. We did it in reaction to the fact that we can't cross the Canadian-U.S. border without quarantining, and so if we were going to play, we had to do something to account for that, which is why the Canadian teams have to stay in Canada and the U.S. teams can't come into Canada. But we are a league of 31, next season about to be 32 teams, and I believe our fans like seeing the great players that played throughout all of our teams. So, you know, while we may learn something about more efficient travel and playing more than one game, sort of like what baseball does, in the final analysis, we want to go back to what we were and what we are and what we should be, which is a league of all of our teams, wherever they happen to be located. Because, you know, we have, if you're looking at the Canadian influence on the game, obviously we have more players playing in our game from Canada than anywhere else, which is great. But a lot of them happen to play for clubs that play in the United States. And so, you know, I think people in Canada like seeing, for example, Sidney Crosby come to visit their market and play their team at home, even though he plays for a U.S. team.
With Gary Bettman, in terms of fans in the stands, I know there's going to be a few teams with limited capacity to start the year and a couple of more that could be on the back burner relatively soon. But into the future, how do you intend on kind of handling this again, very unique situation, Gary, where there's different jurisdictions, there's different protocols in different counties, in different cities, states, provinces, countries, some more vaccinated, others not, rapid testing available in some places, others not. Like, is this what has to go into each individual decision And how are you handling, you know, the uncertainty of when fans are going to be into the buildings again?
Well, you have to play the hand that you're dealt, and to the extent that some jurisdictions or most jurisdictions now don't allow fans in the buildings, we deal with that and we move on. If there are a handful or less of clubs that can have a limited number of fans, then we will work with the clubs to make sure that they're doing what they need to be doing for their fans. The number of people that can be in a game, whether or not people can be in a game, is up to the local jurisdiction. And what we have to do is be in constant communication with our fans and with our teams, and understand what is allowable for our fans based on what the jurisdictions tell us. And whether it's protocols or rules of how we can and can't have fans, whatever the jurisdictions tell us, we will adapt to.
Gary, obviously you've placed some strict protocols in place, throughout the league. How much of the onus is on the players to stay within that protocol? Obviously, you know, we're sitting back and watching other leagues, and there have been some slips of players in other leagues, in the NFL and the NBA, where, you know, the league has had to step in and deal with that scenario. Is the league on high alert? Are the players aware on high alert of any of these slips that could cost, dearly to an organization or individually?
Yeah, I think everybody knows what's at stake. During the return to play to conclude the 1920 season, the players were spectacular, as were all our personnel, in complying with the protocols. Since we're not going to be in a bubble, the protocols become equally, if not more important, as we're doing some traveling. I was on a conference call with the general managers and the coaches, and I said, listen, the protocols are not a recommendation or a suggestion. You need to do them, because what's at stake is our ability to play through this. And I think whether it's the players, the managers, the coaches, the trainers, everybody understands what's at stake, and everybody performed their compliance with the protocols magnificently on the return to play, and that's what we're counting on moving forward. It's not about punishing people. It's about making sure everybody understands what is needed and why it's important. And I think all of our people get that.
How much easier will your life be, Gary, once your players and the staff are vaccinated? And when that becomes an option for you, how do you intend on handling that? Is it something you can enforce? Can you demand of the players to take the vaccine? Where does that stand?
Well, any requirement that the players be vaccinated would have to be agreed to with the Players Association. I know there's been some speculation to the contrary. I have no illusion expectation that we're going to be entitled to, nor should we be, to jump the line to get vaccinated. I mean, we're proceeding, and most people are proceeding under the notion that if vaccination is going to have any impact, it's going to be for the 21-22 season, not this season, because, you know, there's a long way to go to get everybody vaccinated, to get herd immunity, and we have no expectation that we should be treated any differently than anybody else. We're not jumping the line. And so we should all assume that for this season, vaccinations won't be an issue or something we can rely on. If that changes, because the governments at all levels in both Canada and the U.S. Figure out a way to get everybody vaccinated overnight, which isn't going to happen, then we'll reevaluate. But for the foreseeable future, we're in the same in the same line that everybody else is.
Well, with that being the case, as you know, I mean, the vaccination rates are different depending on where you are, you know, which country you're in. Canada's a lot slower than the United States. So will you be handling that decision on a team-by-team basis? In other words, let's say Team X in State Y can get the vaccine, but no other team in the league can get it for 3 weeks. Would you say go ahead and get that vaccine, or do you all have to do it at the same time?
No, everybody is. And by the way, state to state, county to county, city to city in the United States, the rules are all different, and the efficiency and timeliness with which people are being vaccinated is different everywhere. You know, I'm 68 years old, and some places I'm eligible to be vaccinated, and other places I'm not. You know, this isn't a one-size-fits-all situation. Everybody is going to have to do whatever is appropriate wherever they are. That includes when to get vaccinated. That includes when to allow and to what extent you can allow fans in the building. This isn't one of these situations where you can wave a wand and make it all happen at once. And by the same token, we have to be adaptable and flexible enough to deal with the differences that we'll have. Just like we were adaptable enough to say, okay, we can't transverse the Canadian-U.S. border. We have to realign if we're going to play. We're going to have to make those types of decisions on an ongoing basis.
You've made some financial decisions over the past, you know, number of weeks, putting advertisements on helmets, selling the rights to divisions. You have said multiple times at this point it's only for this season. You haven't made any decisions into the future. But as we all know, you know, companies around the world are making adjustments, and they've lost money, and you need to make up money, and it is a business in the future as it is a business today. So, you know, where do you see the willingness from your standpoint to expand, you know, on the horizon with regards to business decisions, whether it's more more accessibility to gambling, whether it's the expansion of franchises going from 32 to 34? How far might we see this go in the next 3 to 5 years where you guys try to maybe make up some of the money you lost?
Well, first of all, to the extent we've expanded the opportunity to advertise, some of that is possible because people aren't in stands and you're not worrying about blocking views or killing seats. So, you know, there are some things that we're doing that don't have any application when we're back to normal. Secondly, overwhelmingly, what we're doing isn't creating new revenue. It's letting us retain revenue that we otherwise might have to give back. We'll look at what, you know, going back to your question a little earlier, we'll see what we learn from it. But I don't think anybody should take what we're doing as a mandate to continue down this road. This doesn't mean that no matter what, we're putting advertising on uniforms. That we're doing what we need to do and we think is appropriate to do in the moment. And, you know, we'll learn from the experience and see what we think makes sense going forward. Expansion is, I know a lot of people think that, but you don't make money on expansion. What you do is you dilute your joint revenues. So when you expand from 31 to 32 teams, whatever the national revenues are, now get divided more ways. So it's really not a way to generate income. What it theoretically does is make your league stronger, at least it should, and therefore enables you longer term to theoretically generate more revenues from your core business. But the charging of an expansion fee is just moving the timing of money around.
And in terms of gambling, I'll let you take the floor on that, because prior to the pandemic hitting, the sports world has drastically changed. I remember speaking with you a decade ago, Gary, and you were staunchly against, you know, a relationship with the NHL and gambling, and you weren't alone. There wasn't a league in North America that was wanting to get in bed, quote-unquote, with the gambling world. Now that has drastically changed in the past 12 to 18 months, and you look at the rest of the world, it's off the charts the amount of money that comes in through gambling.
Yeah, but that's not because of COVID-19. That's because the Supreme Court of the United States ruled that sports betting can be regulated by the states and can be legal. And so lots of states are doing it in the United States. And as a result, you have to adapt with the times. It is a reality, and it's going to go on. And in Canada, you know, single game betting, if you're doing it in the United States, you might as well do it in Canada. I don't see a reason to differentiate the two, particularly, you know, since we have teams in both countries. So that reality is one that came by virtue of legislation and court rulings, and we're just adapting to dealing with it. But it really had nothing to do with the pandemic.
But you've changed your stance on it, though, Gary.
Only because I have no choice, right? It's legal. Now that it's legal, we might as well embrace it.
Okay, but when it wasn't legal, you could have still had the opinion that you wanted it to be legal, and you were pretty against it. Whether it was morally, ethically, for whatever reason, something has changed. Like, do you believe in it now? Do you believe it's ethically right to, you know, gamble in arenas, gamble on hockey?
The answer to that is it's now become another way for fans to connect with our game, for sports fans to maybe take an interest in our game. And, you know, when these things happen, you have to be a bit of a pragmatist. My stance 10 years ago was I didn't want it to become legal. Okay, it's now legal, so we deal with it.
Well, we'll see where it goes. It's going to be a fascinating year, and we're looking forward to Wednesday night. It sounds like you are as well, and best of luck with this. And I think I can speak for almost every hockey fan. Thanks for getting it up and running. We're looking forward to it come Wednesday night, and we'll do this again down the road. Thank you as always.
Well, thanks for having me. Yes, we're excited about the start of the season, but most importantly, you and your listeners need to be safe and stay healthy. That's the most important thing right now.
Yep, likewise. Thank you, Gary.
Thanks, Gary.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. There he is, Gary Bettman, the commissioner of the NHL.